Zion Kislev, Thursday the 5th of December, Rabbi Zelig Weingarten, Mastery Over One's Emotions. Including a ruling on the same talmud.
Good morning to all. The thing I dreaded most when I was learning how to drive was clutch control. If you learn to drive with manual transmission as opposed to automatic, then you have to contend with clutch control. What it means is that when you're standing in a row, a line of cars in a traffic jam, then you need to be able to hold the car still, to be able to prove to the examiner that you're able to hold the car straight without rolling backwards or forwards. It is easy to pass the test of clutch control on a vehicle. Age 17, young boys are passing it, and if not at age 17, a bit older. The question is, how do we pass the test of clutch control in day-to-day life situations? When we're faced with challenges, how do we stand up to the challenges? Are we in control of our emotions? I want to begin with a story, an inspirational story, which I read about one of the Tzaddikei Yerushalayim. Reb David Baran Zatzal lived in Yerushalayim probably about 100 years ago. And it was an unfortunate incident where one of his children, a son of his, was brutally murdered by Arabs. The mitzvah, the mace, was brought to the Levaya, and it could be seen that there was blood dripping from the mitzvah. People were too consumed with grief to be able to respond appropriately. There was a young life cut off in its prime, so they couldn't deal with the situation. But Reb David Baran, the father of the Nifter, he immediately called upon people around him, if they have handkerchiefs, if they'll be able to wipe up the blood so that it gets buried, al pi halacha, along with the mace. And the question which I present to you today is, how is it that Reb David Baran had the energy, the koiches hanefesh, to be able to, in the face of such tragedy, to be able to be a master over his emotions, to be able to put aside his own grief, and to be able to do what the halacha dictates? And the same tzaddik, a few moments later, informs his grandchildren, who are now yesomim. He tells them, you have to make the bracha of hatoiva hametiv on the inheritance, on the Yerusha which you'll be receiving. Again, the koiches hanefesh to be able to be on the ball with the halacha, to know what to do, even though one's emotions are so unsettled. But there is a well-known idea, yesoid, taught to us by Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner tells us that when the Avos HaKadoshim overcame their challenges, that made HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a shefa, an abundance of ability in the world that we, in many generations later, are able to overcome our challenges. And with that, Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains the oft-repeated words in the Ramban al HaTorah. Ramban writes, again and again, HaMaseh Avos Simu Labonim. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner is explaining it. He's saying that when the others overcame their difficulties, that made it that Rabbeinu Shlomo makes it easier for us to overcome our difficulties. So where do we see mastery of emotions with the others HaKadoshim? We don't need to go further than this week's parsha with Yaakov Avinu. He just escaped by the skin of his teeth from his brother Esav. His father told him to go, run away to Choron, and there he will admit to and find the Shidduch. And as he's going, making a journey alone, as fast as he can run, he's running away. He's chased by Eliphaz, and he has to give up all his possessions to Eliphaz. So here he is, he's a runaway, he's unsettled. If anyone else would be in such a situation, they'll be thinking to themselves, let's pack it in, let's throw in the towel, it's too difficult. And then Yaakov Avinu has a dream, and in the dream he's promised a very, very big haftocha, a big promise of protection, divine protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hine onoichi emoch, and behold I'm with you, u'shmarticha b'chol asher teilech, I'll guard you wherever you go, v'ashivosicha lo adoma azos, I'll return you to this land of Eretz Canaan, ki lo ya'ezovcha, I will not let go of you, ad asher osisi, until I've done es asher dibarti loch, that I've promised you, that I've told you. I'm almost sure, if any of us would wake up from such a dream, and we'll have had such an unsettled time before going to sleep that night, we would take the nearest stranger and we would make dance a rakida, we would dance a jig of joy because we felt alone, and then Ribbono Shel Olam promises such protection. That would be a cause for simcha. And yet, how do we see Yaakov Avinu handle the situation? He wakes up in the morning, Vayiro Yaakov, and Yaakov got scared. He was awed. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam in this place. And I wasn't aware. This was the Mokem HaMikdosh. It was Hara Maria. And Rashi says, had Yaakov Avinu realized that this was such a holy spot, he would never have gone to sleep there. This reaction of Yaakov Avinu is unbelievable. It's the furthest thing from our minds. How could Yaakov Avinu find it within himself? Instead of reacting b'simcha, a relief that Ribbono Shel Olam is offering his protection, he doesn't react that way. He reacts in a way, this is a situation that calls for yiras shamayim, fear of heaven. That's exactly what he was worried about. And that is the clutch control, so to speak, in Yaakov Avinu's life, where we see he had on the one hand a reason to be happy, but on the other hand he evaluated that if Ribbono Shel Olam appears to me on this Mokum Kodosh, on this holy spot, it must be that this calls for a Yiras Shamayim. This Koyach of Yaakov Avinu is what gives us the ability in subsequent generations to have a sense of control in all situations, to be able to stop and think, okay, we are being thrown by a challenge, but what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us right now? That's the Ma'aseh Ovei Siman Labonim, which helps tzaddikim like Rav David Baran have the ability to be able to be focused on what the halacha requires, to inform his grandchildren that HaTovah HaMeitiv needs to be said, and to remember the halacha of needing to wipe up the blood that should be buried with a mace. There was another tzaddik of more recent times who lived in Manchester. It was Reb Herschel Goldstein, Zechor Livracha, famously known for his Nuschois of Yomim Noroim. About 70 years ago, his wife gave birth to a baby girl. The following Shabbos, mother and baby were still in hospital, and Reb Herschel was home with his older children. On a Friday night, there's a knock at the door, and a policeman comes, and Reb Herschel takes him into the hallway, and there's a few words shared with them, shared together in hushed tones. Reb Herschel returns to his Friday night meal, after discussing something quietly with a policeman, the children didn't know any better. It turns out that after Shabbos, he tells his children what the policeman had told him. In an unfortunate incident, a nurse had dropped the newborn baby on the floor, and the baby didn't survive its injuries. and he refused to spoil the Kedushas HaShabbos, the Simcha that comes with Shabbos, and to make the children sad, or to allow his sadness to overtake his life. It's mastery over emotions that you see over there. And I'd like to share also, in this context, a personal story. How Kedushas HaShabbos is paramount even against raging emotions. My late grandmother was Nifta some 14 years ago on Shabbos Parshas Beshalach, the late Mrs. Frances Weingart. And after Hatzolah made an attempt at CPR to save her life, it turned out that Rabbeinu Shalom had recalled her. And this Hatzolah man came to inform my father, former Rav of Bridge Lane Beis HaMedrash, came to inform him that his mother had been nifta. And they took him out outside the Beis HaMedrash, in the middle of Shacharis, Shabbos morning. And my father heard the news, went to see his father, came back in the afternoon, on Shabbos afternoon, to give his normal Gemara Shir, and he refused to let anyone know about his sad news till after Shabbos. And I asked him, why are you not sharing the news? Why don't you tell anybody? So he says, how can I do that? How can I spoil people's moods? Kedushas HaShabbos. We've got to let Kedushas HaShabbos reign supreme. Again, another example of mastery over emotions. The root of our ability to be able to be in control, as we said, comes from the Avos HaKadoshim. We've cited one example of Yaakov Avinu. I'd like to share with you another one, another example of Yaakov Avinu, which on the surface, when you see Parshas Toldos and Parshas Vayetze, it would appear that there's a contradiction in the way Yaakov Avinu lived his life. On the one hand, let's go back, Parshas Toldos, Yaakov ish tam yoshev aholim, which refers to Yaakov Avinu as being a simple person, a tomim. Rashi says on ish tam, mi she'enoi chorif l'ramois, someone who doesn't have the astuteness to be able to be a cheat, he's considered a tam, koroi tam, he's called a tam. So you get the picture that Yaakov Avinu wasn't exactly streetwise. On the other hand, you come to this week's parsha, Parshas Vayetze, and Yaakov Avinu introduces himself to Rachel, and he says, tell your father, v'chi achi aviyahu, that I'm your father's brother. And Rashi says, excuse me, you got your mishpachology wrong. It's not a brother of Lavan. Yaakov wasn't a brother of Lavan. Yaakov was a nephew of Lavan. So why would he say he's a brother? So Rashi brings from Chazal that if Lavan wants to do trickery, he wants to be smart with me, then Ochiv ani b'ramois, I'm his brother when it comes to trickery. So one wonders, is Yaakov Avinu the simple person as mentioned in Parshas Toldos, or is Yaakov Avinu someone who was streetwise? He knew how to handle the Lavans of society. And I believe the answer to this question is, in front of the words tam, the word is ish tam. Ish means he was a man. He was a man over his tamimus. He knew exactly when to be a tomim, to be simple, and he knew exactly when he needed to unleash the trickery, if necessary, against Lavan. That was an ish tam. He was in control of his emotions. He knew when to do what. When you look at the Targum Unklus on Ishtam, he says, the translation of Ishtam is Gevar Shalim, which I understood to mean a man over his perfection, which I understood means that not only was Yaakov striking a fine balance between Tamimus, simplicity, versus, if you like, trickery, but Yaakov Avinu had a control over all areas. And let me explain how this might be so. Because there's another contradiction which we find in Yaakov Avinu. On the one hand, when Yaakov Avinu sends the present to Esau in Parshas Vayishlach, and Esau says to Yaakov when they met, keep what you've sent me, you don't need to send me presents, it's fine. And Yaakov Avinu says, yesh li kol, I have all that I need from Ribbono Shel Olam, take it. And with that, he gave up thousands of pounds worth of animals, he gave it as a present to Esau, unquestioningly. And yet, in the same parsha, Parshas Vayishlach, we see how Yaakov Avinu is concerned about the pachim ketanim, the small jugs. He's running back to collect the small jugs. Well, I mean, if you don't care about thousands of pounds worth of animals, why are you caring about the pachim ketanim, the small jugs? And the answer is, Yaakov Avinu was a gevar shalim. He was a man over his perfection. He knew exactly what he needed to do. He felt that his shtadlus necessitated that he give a present to Esav and that Esav keep it. This was not his anymore. These animals had to go to Esav and had to stay with Esav. On the other hand, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives Yaakov Avinu small jugs. They are on Yaakov Avinu's possession. They are from Ribbono Shel Olam. He can't be light-hearted about these pachim ketanim. He has to keep them, and it was his concern to keep them. He knew exactly what to do and when. How can we apply, in our day and age, these ideas, the clutch control, even on the day-to-day? So I was thinking to myself, I know this sounds maybe a little bit lofty, but it's well worth hearing. Ideas which Rishonim, the original commentators, put out to us. The Tarnis HaRaivad. The Raivad spoke about abstention. He did not refer to Tarnesim as in not eating at all. What he referred to is, if one taking a certain size portion, one downsizes to a smaller portion. That is clutch control, because you're taking a little bit, you're eating what you need, but you're deciding that I don't need to have too much. That's getting a fine balance on a day-to-day. There's also, people are Balei Chesed. They do Chasodim, they help other people out. But is one a Chesed Bal Chesed, or is one a doormat? It's a fine balance, again, getting the right balance of what to do and when to do. There is a Pasuk in Keheles, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Pasuk writes, Shmoir raglecha, you should guard your feet, kashetelech al beso elekim, when you go to the house of Ribbono Shel Olam, when you go to the Beis HaMikdash, or you go to any Beis HaMedrash, v'korev lishmoya, it's better that person should just listen to Ribbono Shel Olam, mites hakasilim zevach, rather than the foolish person giving korbonos, ki einam yoidim lasos ra, for they do not consider that they do evil. That's the simple translation. The pshat, the understanding of this pasuk, says Rashi and the Metzudos, some people make a mistake. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it used to be that people enjoyed a good avera, a bad avera, sorry. And they would do it with a gishmak, with a feeling of enjoyment, and then they say to themselves, don't worry, we'll bring a korban for this. We'll bring a sacrifice with which to atone for our wrongdoing. Says Shlomo HaMelech, v'korev lishmoya, it's better for a person to listen to Ribbono Shel Olam in the first place, rather than think, teis haksilim zevach, a foolish man bringing a korban, thinking that he can fix up all his wrongdoings just by bringing korbanos. It's much better to be lishmoya, to be in the first place someone who follows the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the straightforward understanding of this pasuk. But then the Medrash brings from the Yalkut something which gels beautifully with what we've been saying today. The Yalkut brings what we know as a famous Mishnah, Lo yikones odom laharabayis, a person shouldn't come to Harabayis, b'mois hatsruros lo bestinoi, with money bundled up in his handkerchief, over ovok asher araglov, and with the dust upon his feet, over afundosoi hachaguruloi mibachutz, a person shouldn't bring his pouch, which he's tied round his waist, Shenema Shmoiraglacha Kashatelecha Beiselekim. The Mishnah, the Yalkut, brings this pasuk in Kehelet as a backup. Be careful when you go to the Beis HaElokim. I believe the Medrash is saying the following. A person gets excited. He's making a visit to the Beis HaMikdash. He's coming to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the holiest spot. But then he can lose himself, and he comes with the dust on his feet, and he comes with his purse, and he comes with his pouch. He could lose himself. The Pasuk is trying to say to you, when you're going to Ribbono Shel Olam, keep your wits about you. Don't lose yourself. Think. When you're going to Ribbono Shel Olam, you shouldn't just think to yourself, yeah, I'm going to Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to Daven. Am I dressed appropriately? Am I wearing the right things? Have I got dust on my feet? It's about balance, not losing oneself. Even in a moment of exuberance in Avodas Hashem, a person has to get the right balance. The patriarch of the famous Rakov Mishpocha was a Magid Shir in Frankfurt, was called Rav Yomtov Lippmann Rakov Zatzal. As we know, German Yidden are meticulous with their timing. And one time, Rav Yomtov Lippmann was late to his shir by a total of 2 minutes. And the people inside the shir room were looking at their watches and were looking at their Magid Shir, sort of questioning him for his late arrival. And he didn't say anything. He gave the shir as normal. When the shir came to an end, he says, "You were looking at your watches before, and you were looking at me. You were wondering why I was late to the shir. So I want to tell you," he says, his wife had given birth that morning, and he waited till his wife was out of danger after the birth, and the minute the coast was clear, he came running to give his shir. And he added, "I don't yet know what gender the baby is, because I only waited long enough to make sure my wife's out of danger, and then I came to give the shir." This is just one more story which rounds off the idea of clutch control on the day-to-day, the ability to be able to say yes, but not now, or the right measure of everything. We've been saying today, and with this I'll conclude, Yaakov Avinu is the source, the shoresh of self-control, as we've shown from a number of examples. But where did Yaakov Avinu find the strength to do so? Where did Yaakov Avinu find the inner koichas to be able to do so? And I found a fascinating medrash at the beginning of this week's parsha. On Vayetze Yaakov Mibe'er Sheva. Allow me to read the words of the medrash. What's this be'er, this well? So the medrash writes, Mibe'era shel brochos. Yaakov Avinu went from the well of brochos, the brochos which he received from his father Yitzchok. Omar, he says, Shelo ya'amod alai Esav. I mustn't allow Esav to overcome me. V'yomali, and he'll say to me, Kach ha'yisa merame. For this, you went through the bother of cheating to get the brachos for noteles ha'brachos. And Yaakov Avinu concludes, V'nim tseisim abed oise yegia sheyoga bi imi. It will come out that I will have forfeited all the efforts put in by my mother. Rivka Imenu, as we know, was the one, the catalyst behind Yaakov Avinu receiving these brachas. And Yaakov Avinu was, if we may say, he was hesitant. After he got the brachas, he was unsure, can he run away to Choron? Will he be able to overcome Esav? And when he had that sophic, that doubt in his mind, how he'll be able to deal with Esav, or will he be able to overcome Esav, he thought about this. He says, why should the efforts of my mother be in vain? Esav will have a last laugh. He said, you went through the bother of tricking my father to get the brachas, and you don't even bother running away. What we see over here is the koichos that parents put into children. Yaakov Avinu was able to pull himself together because he thought about the koiches that his mother put in. The effort that his mother put into him so he should get the brachas, and no doubt had tefillas, all those efforts went such a long way to ensure that Yaakov Avinu was able to master over his emotions. May we be zoicha to live in our day to day being able to have a mastery over our emotions.